The One by Lillian DeWaters, Chapter 8, Science and Wealth. How are we to find happiness in this world? How can we have the things that we would love to have? These are the questions that are continually being asked. Well, if one can see how the dreamer can have things in his night dream by turning to this world, by remembering what he has in his waking experience, he will also be able to see how it is that one can have such things as he desires in this world by turning his mind to what he actually has in heaven. For example, a man is dreaming that he is very poor, so poor that he hasn't a penny to keep him from starvation, so weary that he sits in poverty and despair. Suddenly, in the dream, he remembers this world and his daily experience. He recollects going to the bank and cashing a check for $50. Then, in great joy in his dream, he puts his hand to his hip pocket, draws out his wallet, and there is the $50 bill to meet all his needs. Now bear in mind that the $50 bill all this time remains in the wallet, which is resting under his pillow. He really does not touch this bill at all, but what he is using in his dream, spends for clothes and food, is picture money, a dream substance, a symbol of that $50 bill that rests under his pillow, but all the same sufficient to satisfy his dream. Again, we will assume that one is dreaming that he intends to start on a long journey. His bags are packed and waiting on the porch. He dreads this long journey, which he is going to take on foot, and expects that he will be weary and tired, and that the bags will be very heavy. Suppose that, in his hour of need, he recollects this world and his experience in this world. Then he exclaims, "Since I have a car in the garage, why should I undertake this journey by foot?" Then, in his dream, he hurries to the garage, takes a key from his pocket, and unlocks the car. He starts the motor running, tucks in the bags, and off he goes traveling in peace and comfort. If one can perceive the value of remembering the waking state while in the night dream, surely one is then in a position to perceive the mystic value of Jesus' words, "Believe that ye have in heaven, and ye shall receive on earth." When the man in the night dream remembered that in his waking state he had a $50 bill, he then received the $50 bill in his dream state, did he not? Therefore, if man in this world, in what is called the state of human experience, will turn to heaven, will remember, will believe what is actually his in heaven, he will then receive in this world. We have been told that we already have every wish fulfilled in the spiritual world. But what one wishes to know is how to have the things that we desire in this world. And it is by understanding the dream and other illustrations that this question of our relation to this world can be understood and abundance and success demonstrated. In the night dream, the man did not actually take his car from the garage, but all the time lay quietly on the bed. Yet as long as he used the car in his dream, this was all that was necessary at this time. Is this not so? Nor did he actually take the money from his wallet, but he took the symbol of it, the picture of it, which was enough. Now in the very same way, we do not receive houses and jewels, food and clothes, money and lands by taking them actually out of the spiritual world and bringing them into this world. It isn't necessary. We can have them in a way that will be the same to us, for a world of birth and change is not an actual world, but is a picture world, a symbolic world, a dream substance world. Because of the perfection of the spiritual world in which we actually live, it is possible for us to govern our earthly experience harmoniously. When you wish to place a flower in the mirror, how do you bring this about? How do you get a reflection of a rose? By placing the flower or rose before the mirror. We have then the Trinity, the rose outside, the mirror and the reflection. In order to have the reflection of the rose, an actual rose is placed before the mirror, is turned to the mirror. Likewise, in order that we have the reflection of wholeness, which reflection is health, we look into the heavenly world. We turn our attention, our vision, to reality, heaven, and according to our vision, so is the reflection. Why is this? Because we turn our mind, mirror, to truth, and then it must, of necessity, reflect truth. For example, if man finds himself in pain in this world, let him turn away entirely from this world and look into heaven, remembering what he actually is in heaven, the same as the dreamer remembered his car and his $50 bill. So this man in pain in the waking state remembers that man in heaven is perfect, that man in heaven has no pain, that there is no pain in the perfect world. Then the pain is gone and he moves again in peace and harmony. Believe that ye have in the heavenly world, the world of reality, and you will receive in this world the mental and physical world of nothingness. Do we have to leave this world in order to enter heaven? It is not necessary for us to be taken out of a world of sin and evil, for we are not in it. This simplifies the problem indeed, does it not? The man asleep and dreaming has his mind occupied with false pictures, and the man in this world who sees sickness, sin, and evil has his mind occupied with false pictures also. One is never to treat a dream world, for it is useless, and one should never treat dream pictures. Simply announce, acknowledge, recognize the nothingness of a dream and the allness and presence of truth. The spiritual world and the darkness disappears in the presence of light, so the dark dream called evil that seems to be in this world disappears in the consciousness of truth. The problem of supply is one of the easiest to handle and demonstrate, yet one of the most difficult and delicate of explanation. For this reason, it is seldom expounded in books based on the absolute teaching, although it can be clearly explained in private instruction. As many students are desirous of at least a few helps on this subject, we will try to give these and those who have the insight not only to read the lines, but also to read between the lines, that is, to glean the meaning, will find tremendous help from the absolute teaching on this subject. The question is asked, how can I demonstrate money, a home, an automobile? Now, you do not believe there are brick houses and $100 bills and Pierce Arrow cars in heaven, do you? Can you see that they belong to this world only, that they belong to the world of creation? They are called creation, for they have a beginning and an end. Now, although creation is transitory and unreal, still it is right to have these things. For did not Jesus say, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things"? What things? Food and clothing, and the things that make a harmonious experience. But the joy and pleasure of these things consist in understanding their nothingness. As previously expressed, if one in his dream at night realizes he is but dreaming, that he is not in an actual experience, but he is only dealing with nothing, he may then have his dream the way he pleases. Inasmuch as this waking experience, that of being born and laboring for means to live upon this earth, is similar to a dream experience, then the consciousness of this fact will enable one to have his dream the way he pleases. If one desires houses, land, money, with the idea that they are something, then he is handicapped from the start. For to deal with nothing, the dream, and think of it as something, reality, is to walk in the dark, to live in ignorance, while to deal with nothing as though it were nothing is to experience freedom, joy, and the satisfaction of desire. Since creation springs from nothing, then such nothing is infinite, And one has only to understand why he can have his wish granted, and the demonstration becomes simple. A demonstration is hard and retarded when one fixes his wish on a thing as if it were something. But when he fixes his attention or his wish on a thing as though it were nothing, then the demonstration is easy and at hand. You can see clearly that in the night dream, one can have at once everything he wishes if he knows that he is the creator of the dream and that it is a dream. But if he doesn't know this, if he doesn't know in his dream that he is dreaming and that all his experience is being made, woven out of nothing, and since the nothing is infinite, he can have it as he pleases, then he is deprived of a pleasant dream through ignorance. This should be very plain to one. A simple illustration or story makes the way of demonstration very clear and simple. A child approaches his mother asking for a story. "Mother, tell me a story, please." The mother, taking the young child upon her lap, after a moment's meditation, begins. "Once upon a time, there was a little girl who was very lonesome because she had no pets of any kind to play with. One day, there came into her yard one tiny little kitten. 'Oh, mother, why can't there come more than one little baby kitten?' protests the child. 'Why, yes, of course,' assents the mother, continuing. 'One day, there came three little baby kittens into the yard.'" Now the question is, why could the mother so easily change her story? Why could she say three or five kittens as well as to say one kitten? From what source are these kittens being obtained? From the nothing. In the nothing are an infinite number of kittens, as many as this mother could think or say. Is this not so? This nothing is like a mirror. A mirror is nothing, yet out of a mirror anything can spring. Anything that is before the mirror can be seen also in the mirror as reflection. The great nothing from which the kittens have come is similar to the mirror, and the kittens themselves are the reflection or the image in the nothing. Both the image in the mirror and the mirror are nothing. The great nothing, therefore, from which great creation springs, has been called the mother of creation. For without a mirror, you can have no reflection, and without the great nothing, there would be no creation. If one were to draw some pictures on a blackboard, he draws on the nothing. If something were already written on the board, he would not be able to draw or create his pictures. If one wishes to write a book, he writes on blank paper. He writes on the nothing. Then it must be seen that one can have as much of abundance as he pleases because of the infinite mirror from which it springs. To illustrate how such demonstrations are made practical, I will give a few of my own in simple language, for they relate to everyday experiences. Take a shopping trip, for instance. Sometimes one knows just what he wishes to purchase, knows the color, size, and cost of the article. Yet again, one may not be certain or may have no definite idea at all about the thing that he wishes to have. In either case, a demonstration is possible and easy to be made. On a shopping trip one day, I planned to buy a coat. I did not know this time just what particular kind of a coat I wanted, and I visited several shops but did not find a single thing that I liked. As it was about time for my train, I knew that a demonstration would have to be made at once or else I would not make the purchase that day. Seating myself in the shop in which I found myself at this moment, and in which the saleslady had shown me everything she had in this line and still nothing that I liked, I closed my eyes for a few moments, and it came to me clearly like this. The coat that I want is in the nothing, or is unknown to me. It is so absolutely nothing and so unknown to me this moment that I haven't even the slightest idea of the color or the style that I would like. Yet since the nothing holds all creation, it is there. It is here. The saleslady now touched my elbow I have found another, she said, smiling. With the glee of a child, I reached for it while the voice sang within me, this is it. Now, the coat which she brought me was reversible. No wonder I hadn't planned it. I could wear it on either side. It was delightful, fitted me perfectly. And as in a fairy tale, I bought it and reached my train on time. Now, here is another instance of demonstration, and this time I knew exactly what I wanted, yet still it seemed difficult at the outset to procure. I wanted a country house where I might spend some peaceful summer hours away from city life. I knew exactly, to the minutest detail, what I desired. It must be a white house with green blinds. It must have a sweeping lawn with plenty of maples for shade. A cool, quiet, secluded spot. Yes, and I wanted some water, a lake, or a running brook on the place. And this house must be within comfortable motoring distance from my city home. Now, one does not sit and wait for his desire to fall from the sky, but he acts out what seems reasonable and at hand. I therefore made my want known to several agents who laughed at me and informed me that what I wanted was impossible. That is just a pleasant little dream you have, they said. But I knew that such a dream could come true. About a week later, one of these men took me to see a place which he thought might suit me, but which was nothing at all that I had asked for. Yet it was while standing here that suddenly he said to me, right around the corner is a beautiful place, but the owner prefers to leave it idle rather than rent it. We might look at it. The moment we came within sight of the place, I recognized it. This is it, sang within me. Here was the white house with green blinds. Here every wish had been granted me as though the house were made to order for me. There were 18 acres of land to this place, and through this, and very close to the house, ran the bubbling brook, and I counted 12 stately maples standing in the front yard. Soon I was talking with the owner, explaining to him that I wished to come to this lovely place of peace and seclusion, coolness and fragrance, to write a book. And it is right here, in this demonstrated spot, that I am writing these very lines. Many students write asking, how can I sell my home? How can I pay my debts? How can I obtain my desires? We are to see, first of all, that we are dealing with nothing, dealing with creation, dealing with magic, with that which is plastic, dealing with dreams that come true on the instant, where one thing good and right to have is always at hand. We are to see that the wish is already fulfilled, for all creation is at hand in the nothing. To grasp this simple yet stupendous idea is to live a life of charm and freedom. It was the wonderful Jesus who uttered the covenant, all things are possible to him that believeth. When we can believe that all things are possible, then they are possible. And this is easy to believe when we perceive how and why all things are possible. To even faintly perceive the nothingness of creation, hence the possibility of anything, of everything on the instant, is to feel a release, an emancipation not equal to expression. If you have a wish like the selling of a house or owning of a car or whatever the wish might be, know that this wish is fulfilled on the instant. For your wish is like the object, image, that stands in the mirror, mind. When you see an object in a mirror, you know very well that there is an original standing before the mirror, do you not? And when you have a wish, you may be sure that the original or the fulfillment of that wish already exists. Else this wish or reflection would not be taking place in your mind, mirror. All things in this world, such as cars, houses, money, are but reflections of divine realities. Hence, they are infinite and unlimited in expression. The man in the night dream, as related before, wished money, and he could have it because of the $50 that he had had in the day experience. So when we wish cars, homes, and money, we can have them because we have abundance and joys and harmonies and satisfaction in heaven. In relating my demonstration of the white house with green shutters, a student asked, "But how did you know that a house such as you wanted actually existed on this plane? Supposing that what you wanted was the impossible." My answer was, "Because I had a picture of it." Now, if on your mantle there stood a photograph of a country home, anyone would know without questioning you that the original existed. For how could it be possible for you to have a picture unless there were an original of which this was the reflection or likeness? Thus, when you have decided desires, you may be sure that the fulfillment or the original already exists for you, otherwise you would not be in possession of the photograph, the picture in your mind. Many, however, are so prone to change their feelings and desires that demonstration becomes impossible. Today they may want a certain thing, and tomorrow the wish is changed for something else, or they are not really certain whether it would be the best for them to have such a thing or not. Now, when you wish to demonstrate creation, you must be certain. You must be strong and unwavering. You take seeds and plant them in the ground, the nothing. And duly they spring forth or are externalized. So also plant your wish in the nothing, in the unknown or mirror, and surely it will be reflected or externalized for you. When a demonstration is rightly made, every detail is satisfactory, and harmony is demonstrated for everyone concerned. It is not enough for us to declare that we are spiritual beings, not enough for us to assert that we are living in a perfect world, but we must feel it. Spiritual consciousness is not emotion of the mind, but it is an inner feeling, a full, deep sense of joy, peace, fulfillment. Since man is himself the fact of life, then the joy, the peace, the ecstasy stands upon nothing external for support, but comes from within. The place of understanding is that man has already attained success, even before he attempts to reach it. This is indeed a new evolution. Man is not to ascend, evolve, develop, attain success, but on the contrary, it is as though man were trapped in a veil and he must pierce this covering. It is as though man were walking through a great wilderness and must find himself. Man must rend the veil. He must strip off the disguise. He must come to himself. He must stand still and behold. When man is to demonstrate supply, demonstrate health, demonstrate joy, he is not to be taken off and educated and instructed how to acquire and construct these things that he desires. He is not to seek for health and wealth as though he would add these to himself like a cloak or a garment which he would put on. But the new day, the angel of insight, shows man that he is to begin at the end. He is to arrive before he starts. He is to see no distance from man to truth, no distance from the beginning to the end. I possess it now. Now are we the sons of glory, the sons of wealth. Now is come the kingdom of God and the power of his glory. Out of the mirror springs anything that is before the mirror, and out of the mirror of clear mind springs the nothingness called material creation, houses, lands, jewels, business opportunities. My world of fortune is within. It is not dependent upon certain cities, certain beliefs, certain people. The finished attainment, the possession of all fortune, is within man. In the midst of our sickness, we are health. In the midst of our poverty, we are wealth. In the midst of our sorrow, we are joy. Let us see and acknowledge ourselves as we are, Let us claim our dominion and power and glory from on high. Let us know that we are not to be given a perfect body sometime after we depart from this world. We are not to be given power and health and joy someday in some other future world. But now are we clothed in the body of shining light. Now are we crowned with that glory greater than the sun. Now are we the possessors of the wealth of the whole universe. This is not human evolution, but this is divine revelation. Let us approach this instruction, this truth, as though it were, as though we believed in it with all of our hearts and souls. Let us listen to it as though we were listening to the most exquisite of music, as though we were walking through places of indescribable beauty. Let us feel this truth to be true. Let us see that it is not a question of attaining, but a question of accepting. There is no long journey before us, no world to be conquered, no fortune to be earned. But we are there before we start, and that which is last is also first. Let this truth come upon man, tearing the veil from his eyes, lifting the yoke from his shoulders and the burden from his heart. Such revelation is that blaze of glory which causes man to forget his fears, forget his doubts, forget his worries of the material world, for he is looking in to the divine mirror, the light of glory, beholding himself face to face. A woman sat at the side of a teacher, for the first time listening to the story of perfect man, the revelation of glory and wholeness now and here. This woman had much trouble with her eyesight and had worn glasses for many years, not being able to read without them. Upon hearing the word of life and wholeness, swiftly she tore off her glasses. Why, if this were true, she did not need glasses. What need the Son of the Almighty for such appendage? Dancing with the delight of a child, she ran to the bookcase, lifting out a dictionary of unusually small type, and seated herself again at the side of the teacher. She opened the book, reading aloud instantly anywhere, any place where her glance happened to fall. Blessed are they who believe, for they shall receive. Blessed are they who are upon hearing the word, act upon it. Blessed are they who understand that the universe of fortune is not external, but is within, that one may have all the reflection he wishes because of its nothingness. We do not say that the world is perfect so that it will thereby become perfect, but because it is perfect, we state that it is perfect. If you say to one, "You are wealth," with the belief that your words will make him wealthy, you are in ignorance. You are to state that a person is health, is wealth, because it is so. You are to state your perception, your recognition of the truth. In this way, the ignorance in the mind, the veil that seems to cover one, is consumed, is melted away, is returned to nothingness. To understand the nothingness of materiality does not encourage extravagance or wastefulness, nor does it create in one the notion of intemperance or the misuse of anything. Because of the realities in heaven, it is right that we have their symbols on earth. Yet such experience on earth but glorifies and exalts one, causing him to rejoice not over possessions or ownership, but to rejoice over the allness, the omnipresence, the joy and the glory of truth, and the true experience of man in heavenly abundance of all good, now and here.